Australia, Rachel Brunston on Bond iTunes International.
You're listening to Bond iTunes International, broadcasting around your world. I'm Henry on Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia. And today is, well, New Year's Day 2024. And I'm joined by our entertainment reporter, Rachel Brunston, in the state of Victoria at the moment and in the city of Melbourne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Indeed. And look, I'm just wondering, Rachel, what is New Year's Eve a thing for you in this day and age? Or
not
has it
anymore.
Ever? Has it, yeah, I was going to say not anymore for me too. I just find, you know, we hoped to have Adam Devlin, our political correspondent, join us from Brisbane, but he's probably very hungover given that it is New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But myself and Adam went down to the Rocks. Now, the Rocks is right at the base of the left side of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, depending on what direction you're looking at it
well,
from.
Well, that's where I used to go when I lived in Sydney as well.
I'm wondering if we actually went there together. I can't remember.
I'm sure we did one year. I'm positive that the three of us went to the Rocks
Adam,
one year.
I know.
With Phil and...
with your brother Phil, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. And I went a couple of times when I first moved there. The first New Year I spent there, I went to the Rocks because it was just one of those things to do. And then I kept going as I made more friends. I just kept going because that's where all my friends were going.
And we were young, you know.
Yeah, like, we could stay up all night. We could drink.
We
could,
we
you know, do yeah, and other things. And we did all those nefarious activities. And then oddly, we'd end up somewhere after the fireworks and whatnot. We'd end up in Oxford Street because all the fabulous gay bars were open all night.
All night long.
We'd go and we'd party and we'd see the sun come up and we'd feel dreadful, but we felt awesome at the same time. And now I couldn't do those things without dropping dead.
Well, neither could I, for probably different reasons than you.
but
the thing is, I don't want to, and I haven't for literally decades. And we were talking 1990, 1991, 92, when you, myself and Adam, were doing the town. Particularly in Oxford Street, which is the best party place in Australia, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, me too.
And there were fun times. But now I just spent time with Caroline, my girlfriend, and we just watched the fireworks. By the way, are fireworks a thing for you?
No. When I lived in Port Melbourne, which is probably about 10, 15 minutes drive from where I live now, and the view that we had from our balcony, we could see the fireworks from the city, but we could also see the fireworks from the bay. So we just look left, look right, and you'd see fireworks. But now, where we live now, we're not only further away, but we're facing the wrong direction. But I got to tell you, I was in bed asleep by 9:30 last night. I had no interest.
My girlfriend is famous for falling asleep before the fireworks, but she made it to the fireworks, and then bam, she was off. But you see, they have the kiddies fireworks at 9 o'clock. You can make that one, Rach.
I could, but, you know, I was
not
by
interested.
Myself. I was by myself. Robbie was away. You know, all my friends are a little bit older and just wanted to stay home and have a, you know, a bit of a champagne and watch on television. And
For sure.
I just didn't have any interest in, because I don't drink, I didn't really have any interest in going and watching fireworks at, you know, silly o'clock and having watching people have champagne.
There's just not enough reasons. I mean, it's interesting because you don't drink alcohol, and that must be kind of a pain in the ass when you're surrounded by really drunk people. I mean, you must live with this, never mind on New Year's Eve, but throughout the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mind when people drink. It doesn't bother me when people drink. I mean, and it's great because I watch people devalue as the day goes on. They start out at a million bucks and end up at about 25 cents. And
you should charge for being the designated driver.
Well, I have done that in the past, and I was considering, you know, being an Uber driver for New Year's Eve, but I thought, no,
really?
That means I've got to stay up. So instead, what I did was one of my favourite things to do. I stayed home, I cuddled with Gordy, and I watched a movie, and then I went to sleep.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing, and Gordy is your little dog. How is he had glaucoma, is that right? Or is
He lost his eyesight because of the diabetes. He lost his eyesight basically overnight. He could see one day and he was completely blind the next. But we got cataract surgery on him and he can see better than he could see before. And that's now fantastic. That his diabetes has stabilized, he's like a 5-year-old again. He's like a little puppy. He's full of beans. And now I get to take him to Adelaide and let him run around there.
And we'll talk about Adelaide a little later on. His eyesight's probably better than yours or mine at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Well, he doesn't need glasses to read the paper, that's for sure.
I've just interviewed our three correspondents in North America, being Canada being part of it. And I asked them one of two questions. One was, what were all the bad things that went on in the year 2023? Mm-hmm. But then I said, no, I'm not going to ask that question. I'm going to ask you what all the good things that happened in 2023. Mm-hmm. Can you muster up some good things?
Well, I mean, for personally, myself, yes. We had our fantastic trip overseas to America. And that was great. And then the minute we got home, as you know, personal things happened and the rest of the year was kind of diabolical. But and as I told you off air, I had a little surprise yesterday that made my year.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
So it ended really well and I was really chuffed about that and obviously I can't for various reasons go into detail about that.
Sure.
But it was a lovely way to end.
What a lovely end to the year of 2023.
Yeah.
And, you know, the year of 2023, we're realists here on Bondi Tunes International. And if you've just joined us, I'm talking with our entertainment reporter, Rachel Brunson, in Melbourne. You know, those two major things, as a journalist, I found 2023 to be very disturbing. You know, with Russia and you know, attacking Ukraine, and then, of course, Israel and the Gaza Strip. These are big, big events. They can cause regional or even global war.
Yes.
And, you know, as much as I want to be positive about the year 2023, I can't really. I try my best. I mean, I got cancer in 2023 and I still have it. So, you know, I'm a realist, but I'm not saying that we should all be just down on the year 2023, but it certainly had its challenges, Rachel.
It did, and everybody, I think, had a year that was sort of up and down, and usually any other year seems to be, you know, smooth sailing. It's you know, it just plods along, and you go to work and you do your thing, and you have little ups and little downs. But this year seemed to be a year of extremes, and
absolutely.
it wasn't just sort of, you know, like really good things happening, but it was really cataclysmically bad things happening at the same time. So I'm happy to see the back of this year. And well, last year now.
Are you positive for the year 2024?
I really am. I don't think it could be as diabolical as it was in 2023. So I'm looking forward to all good things happening. And so far, the plans I made and the way it's all starting to come together indicates that it's going to be a much better year for us.
And yes, absolutely. And I'm feeling positive about the year 2024. You know, I was urged to say there's something rotting in the state of Denmark, but I can't use that very infamous term because there's something beautiful going on in the state of Denmark. And it would turn out that, and this is, you know, just rolling off the press wires right now as we record on New Year's Day, Margarita the Second, Denmark's queen, is abdicating from the throne, passing it on to good old Fred, King Frederick, he'll be called. And what about Mary Donaldson? You are the entertainment reporter. Give me a back drop on the history of Mary Donaldson and the year 2000.
Well, she's now a citizen of Denmark, but she comes originally from Tasmania, our southern state, and she met Frederick when he was sailing in the 2000 Olympics. They met at a pub.
He was sailing. I didn't realize. I knew that they met in the Sussex Bar, which was called the Slip Inn at the time, which is right in the centre of Sydney. But I didn't realize that he was actually in the Olympics.
Yeah, he was sailing. He was sailing, and she's a sailing enthusiast herself. And they met at the Slip Inn, and the rest is history. He whisked her away, and unlike other commoners that we know have slipped away to princes, this one went particularly well, and now she's going to be queen, and I think that's really lovely. She's, you know, she met the love of her life, and he met his, and it was a real
beautiful
fairy
story,
tale.
An absolute fairy tale. And you know, she was interviewed in 2000 and asked what it would feel like to be the future queen of Denmark, and she said, "I really haven't thought about it." I loved that answer.
Yeah,
she didn't care. She's just in love with Fred, you know.
But it was such an Australian answer too. It was, you know, it was quintessentially Australian.
It was just so laid back.
Yeah, and good on them. You know, they've been waiting for a while for this to take place, and I think that Queen Marguerite has picked the perfect time to abdicate, and she, you know, she's the longest serving monarch in Europe.
I know.
And she's you know, ready to hand over the mantle to the new generation, and she feels that they're ready, and I think she's right. Mary hasn't ever, despite her lack of, you know, royalty, as it were, she hasn't put a foot wrong in the whole time that she's been married to Prince Frederick, and she's been, you know, Princess Mary. She's never put a foot wrong.
Yeah, you know what? Sorry to interrupt you, Rachel. There, on a Channel 9 news broadcaster here in Australia, which is not to be trusted anyway, there were rumours of an affair. I don't know whether it was him or her, but I'm pretty sure that was just rubbish.
I'm pretty sure it was neither, and I just think it was, you know, cheap tabloid journalism, which you would expect from news outlets such as that, and of course, I mean, in Europe and in the UK, you know what they're like, the tabloids, they just go after everybody. But no, I think they're going to make a fine king and queen. I really do.
Well, they might have to clear out the rooms of the palace there, because Margarita is a very fun-loving chain smoker, I've been told. Sign of the age and the times, you know. But we wish them the best, don't we?
We do, and I think they're going to revolutionise that whole monarchy. And just as the Prince and Princess of Wales are revolutionising the British royal family, they've injected this wonderful youthfulness, and they've taken a very front seat to their duties, and they too are not putting a foot wrong, as opposed to their nefarious brother and his wife, who seem to just not want to be a part of it at all. And you know, that's their choice, I guess. But they too are revolutionising the monarchy, and I think making people fall in love with the British monarchy, because they were struggling for a few years. The people were a bit off them, and now they seem to be gaining some of that popularity back.
We'll be right back.
song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream, a dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word because I've heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore, forevermore's a memory. Please have them play it again, and I'll remember just when I heard that lovely song
Now, if you've just joined us, I'm Henry from Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. I'm talking with Rachel Brunson, our entertainment reporter in Melbourne currently. Now, I'm just not sure if you're across this. I did want to have Adam on, our political correspondent, to talk about John Pilger, who is, he was a campaigning Australian journalist, and he's died in the last couple of days. Are you familiar with him at all?
I'm really not. Okay. So I'm just, not across this story, but no. You fill me in.
Well, okay. Excuse me. Campaigning, according to the BBC, because he did very well around the world as a journalist. Campaigning Australian journalist and filmmaker John Pilger has died, aged 84, his family has announced. A statement by his relatives on X, which of course is a new name for Twitter and the most stupid name I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
A statement by his relatives on X said he died in London on Saturday. Now, the thing I like about Pilger was that he didn't mess around. He had a problem with a lot of things in Australian society and in global society. And, you know, his family described Pilger as simply the most amazing and loved dad, granddad and partner. He was a vocal and sometimes controversial critic of Western foreign policy. He was also outspoken over the treatment of Indigenous Australians. He was born in Bondi, in fact, died here in Bondi.
Wow.
Just 3 days ago. Or sorry, 1 day ago as we record. He was born in 39. He went to the UK in the 60s, and the rest is history. And, you know, valet to John Pilger. He kicked ass and he didn't take any crap from anyone.
Mm.
Now, let's move on. And you're moving on, Rachel Brunson.
Currently,
now I just want to let our listeners know that I've been talking to you for 15 years on this broadcast here on Bondi Tunes International, and you've lived in a lot of places. When I met you, you were in Sydney. At some stage, you were in Caloundra, which is in Queensland.
Yes. Before that, though, I was in a place called Toowoomba.
Oh, yes.
And that's before our show began. That was about a year before our show began. I lived in Toowoomba for a little while. Then we moved to the Sunshine Coast, which is Caloundra in Queensland. And then we moved to Gladstone, the creepy noodle town.
I used to call it Happyston. I've been there. It's very scary.
Yes, and then we moved from there to Darwin, which is even scarier.
Yes,
and probably
yes.
The worst experience of my life. And then we moved to Melbourne, which is where I am now. And that was I have very fond memories of Melbourne from back in the day when I was doing musical productions and television and when I was a actress. So I had a lot of fond memories. And Rob said, well, if I'm doing fly in, fly out, then you should have a base where you're happy. And and I was happiest in Melbourne, and I've I was here until COVID went bad, and of course Rob was locked out of Melbourne for 9 months when he was working in Western Australia and in northern New South Wales, and he asked me if I would move to Canberra, and I
said,
"Of course."
The
ACT, and that's where that's our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And I was there for about 18 months, and when the borders relaxed, I didn't enjoy Canberra. It was a very difficult place to live when you don't know people, and you can't, and you find it difficult to get work, and it was harder on me to live in Canberra than it was to live in Melbourne during lockdown. It was much harder.
Why was that? Because I thought you had, did you have less freedom in Canberra?
Much. And, well, not just less. Not
but
less
you didn't
freedom
know
in
people,
terms
I guess.
Of, that's right. I didn't know anybody. I'm not a sporting person, so I couldn't join a sporting club. I didn't knit, so I couldn't join a knitting club. Oh. And people in Canberra are very friendly to a degree, but they keep you very much at arm's length. And I found it very difficult to make friends, and it was just a very difficult time. But when I was in Melbourne during lockdown, I was still able to work because I was in essential services. So my life didn't really change that much other than the fact that my husband was locked out. So I found it a lot harder. And then when borders eased and we were able to come back to Melbourne, I said to Robbie, I've got to go back to Melbourne. And he said, that's fine, we'll go back to Melbourne. And that was a couple of years ago, almost 2 years ago. But the reason why we're moving back to Adelaide is that Robbie and I are originally from there, both of us.
Teenage lovers?
No, actually.
No? Okay, just friends?
We went to high school together. We were just friends. We didn't become romantically involved until about 20 years later. And we met up at a 20-year school reunion. And that was kind of a funny story. But
you said it was a funny story. You got to tell us.
Well, it was funny because I was about to move to Queensland because Beth had moved to Queensland with her dad.
And this is your daughter, right? We just need to explain that. Yeah.
And I wanted to be closer to her. So my plan was to move to Queensland. Now, in the meantime, my lease had actually expired and I didn't have anywhere to live. But Rob had gotten in touch with me and said, I've got a spare room if you want it until you go to Queensland. So, but nothing romantic was going on, nothing. And I moved to Toowoomba, and he said, he was used to call me, and I'd call him because we became, you know, very close friends when I was living with him. And he said, he rang me one time and he said, I think I might love you. And I said, I think I might love you too. So he sold his house, packed up his stuff and moved to Toowoomba from Adelaide. And then years later, much years later, after bouncing around the country, as we've just discussed, when Rob comes home for his week off, he doesn't like Melbourne and he doesn't have friends here.
He doesn't like Melbourne. Wow, that's interesting.
He doesn't. And he when he comes home for his week off, he's miserable. And so he broached the idea of me going back to Adelaide, which I've always resisted because I do like Melbourne. And I've always resisted it. And then just after the sort of chaos and horror that was last year, I said, why not? So we made a decision and I approached some people at work and I got a straight transfer. And now we're off. We're back, going back to where my parents live, where my sister lives, where all his family live. And when he's still going to do fly in, fly out. But when I'm alone there, I won't be alone there. I'll have all my family and all those people around me to support me and take care of me.
Do you feel like, given that you were born in Adelaide and so was he, as far as I understand, do you feel like you've come full circle in a way at your age group as well? Like, you're not old, but you're not young. You're in the middle somewhere. Do you feel like you've kind of, this was supposed to be, to go home?
I think, you know, Adelaide was always going to be endgame for us, always. And
Did you know that all those years ago?
Yeah, I knew that all those years ago. I knew we'd always end up back in Adelaide. That was always going to be endgame, and it's definitely going to be endgame for us. We've got sorry, that's my dishwasher. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, all our family and friends there. We've got no reason not to go home anymore. There's nothing keeping us here now that I've got a brand new job in Adelaide, and it's just the best move for us at this point.
Fantastic. I just want to ask you about Toowoomba, because just to let our listeners know, I think it's about 3 hours out west of Brisbane. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And we actually have, myself and my girlfriend, we've got a property there.
Oh.
So, well, so I'm interested, because I've never been, I don't think I've ever been there. Oh. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's a small town, but it's doing pretty well. What was it like living in a small town?
Because it was nice. Yeah. I got involved with an amateur theatre group and treaded the boards one more time to see if I still had it. I still had it, but I didn't love doing it. So I knew that was something that I was able to put to bed finally. Mm. And I just wanted to see if I could still do it. And I wanted a swan song, and I got one. And it was nice. It's a nice little place to live. It's a nice little town. It's it does house a fairly robust chapter of the KKK, which is a slight worry.
Really?
Yeah. Jesus. But you don't hear too much from them, especially if you're white. You don't hear a lot from them at all. But they're very sort of right wing in their political leanings, and you know, so politically it was an interesting place to live. But I mean, for the most part, we made lots of really lovely friends there. We one of whom you know very well, Paul Brown.
Oh yes.
And his now ex-wife, sadly, Jackie, she's still a very good friend of mine, and there's a lot of people from that theatre group that I'm still very close friends with. So it's a really lovely town, and people, unlike Canberra, they take you under their wing and they make you one of their own, and they welcome you. It's very nice country feel, and for a country town that can be, they can be a bit standoffish.
Yes.
It's not like that at all.
I found that, you know, myself and my girlfriend, we moved to Batemans Bay, which is about 3 hours south of Sydney. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like 30 years ago, 25 years ago maybe. And the locals just knew we were from Sydney, and they go, "You're from Sydney." And they didn't like us.
But
you didn't get that feeling in Toowoomba.
No, and not at all. And because I think it was because we'd come from Adelaide.
Right. Well, that's a good point. Sydney is not liked by other cities, including Perth and Melbourne.
If you're going to go to a place like that, say you're from Adelaide.
And, I will next time.
Yeah, and they think, oh, Adelaide, isn't that cute? And, you know, they seem to sort of, you know, they enjoy that.
Adelaide's cute, and Sydney's a pain in the ass, but and it's an aggressive big city.
Yes,
Adelaide's cute.
They think it's too big for its boots, and they're probably right. a little, but you know, Sydney's always a fun town to visit.
And you know, I think Adelaide. By the way, has Adelaide actually grown over the years, or has just stayed the same?
No, very much. When I lived there, it was what we used to call God's waiting room. And the population was very old. And now that all those people have passed on, you know, God rest them, it's full of young families. And the city has grown, and suburbs have grown to accommodate all this sort of population explosion. And you'll find that some of the sort of the dodgier suburbs have been completely redone. So then they're all the very nice suburbs now. And it's evolved as would, you know, any other city.
Indeed.
So, I mean, there's still you know, people call peak hour traffic, you know, there were 5 cars on the road and mine will make 6 and, you know, that kind of thing. But of course, Adelaide's great because it's 20 minutes to anywhere. And, you know, I'm not going to have to contend with Melbourne traffic or, you know.
Melbourne traffic is the worst in Australia, I find.
It's terrible. It's awful. It's the absolute worst. But it's going to be nice to be, you know, around my parents. I know I've got my dad is so excited. And he's already planned a trip for us because they're big campers and you will appreciate this.
I love camping. Yeah.
Well, we haven't been camping for years, but my dad's a mad fisherman and my dad and I used to fish when I was a kid.
Wow.
And so they've already planned, we've already booked, we've already paid deposits on campsites and whatnot, and we're going.
Does Robbie like camping?
Robbie's gonna like camping,
whether he likes it or not.
That's right, and he's gonna, you know, fish. We're gonna teach him how
fishing.
To fish, and,
oh god,
and it's gonna be lots of fun. Yeah, we're gonna have a great time there.
I just want to, before we go, I just want to mention, so, you know, I watched Channel 10. Now, Channel 10 is like the bubblegum network of Australia.
Very much.
It's very aimed at youthful market. But they actually have a news, and I just saw a story about NCIS Sydney. Now, I'm not sure, Rachel, if you watch NCIS, and for our listeners... For our listeners in America, you know what NCIS is. But it appears that they've actually pumped millions of dollars into NCIS Sydney, what do you know about this?
I know that when COVID was on and nobody could do anything in America because they were really horribly affected, much more than we were, there was still the ability to work here in Sydney and in places like Byron Bay and where there was no COVID. So I think a lot of production companies packed up and went to places like Canada, came to places like Australia. A lot of movies were made in Australia during that time. And I think this is one of the series that got made here because it's the Australian dollar as well versus the US dollar is, you know, a bit of a laugh. So they were able to do it fairly cheaply as opposed to, you know, having to do it in America. So, I mean, I don't see it having any legs. NCIS has got about 50 different incarnations. So, I honestly would say I've probably never watched an episode, so I shouldn't comment too much.
No, that's fine. Look, to me, it's just 4 letters, NCIS, and it's all over the place. You just keep hearing about it. What I found interesting in a promo that Channel 10 showed was that they've got these Aussie blokes, and, you know, they're from ASIO, which is our FBI in Australia, and they've got the federal police here, the AFP. And they're all these actors playing these people. And they're speaking with such Australian accents that I've heard that they've had to put, you know, words on the screen. What's that called?
Subtitles. Yeah,
thank
they
you.
Do it,
subtitles.
They do it a lot.
For Australian accents.
In America. They do it a lot in America. They subtitle lot of our...
Especially British people because they have such strong accents. But so do Australians. But I just thought it was rather humorous that they had to put subtitles on that.
I do too, and I think a lot of it, especially the funny little side gags and the dry humour that we have, is going to be lost in translation. I think
that's so true.
It's going to be lost, but never mind. Good luck to them.
Yeah, I don't know how long they've been doing that, but I think, you know, really the Australian government loves this because they want Americans to come here and visit Australia and not confuse it with Austria. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's a big PR campaign for particularly New South Wales because a lot of this is filmed, you know, planes flying over the Harbour Bridge, Sydney Harbour Bridge, and all sorts of stuff going on. Anyway, we must go. Rachel, this is exactly 30 minutes and 51 seconds. Thank you for spending some time on New Year's Day 2024 with me.
My pleasure. I'm more than happy to spend my New Year's with you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio in 2024.
I'd like to stay in love with you all summer and after fall. on the handlebar. You laugh and run away.
Do I?
And I chase you through the meadow.
Do I? Do I?
Without you, I die. Just never say goodbye.
Oh, Lori, you bring the spring, summer, fall,
blue and winter are the seasons.
Oh, Lori,
Lori,
it feels as though I've been born again,
born again.
You danced for me.
This is Ling Pang for Bondi Tunes International. Here's an interview by Lee Williams chatting with Exile, courtesy of Livewire.
Hey everybody, I'm Sonny.
I'm Steve.
And we're with the band Exile.
And you're listening to Lee Williams.
Somewhere in the night, I fell in love with you. You wandered through my dreams and you stole away my blues. All of a sudden, a brand new feeling opened up inside. And I don't know whether to jump through the roof or break right down and cry. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful day. Am I still dreaming? Is it supposed to feel this way? I'm running around with a foolish grin, painted all over my face. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful day. I used to run around in no particular direction. I ran across a lot of pretty women, but I couldn't make a connection. But last night when you held me tight, turn my life around. And I opened up my eyes this morning. I said, look at here what I found. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful day. Am I still dreaming? Is it supposed to feel this way? I'm running around with a foolish grin, painted all over my face. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful day. Mm-hmm.
dreaming? Is it supposed to feel this way? When I'm running around with a foolish grin, hating all over my face. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful day. Am I still dreaming? Is it supposed to feel this way? When I'm running around with a foolish grin, hating all over my face. I woke up in love with you. Oh, what a beautiful. I woke up in love.
One of my favorite bands, and I love to meet them every year, is Exile. Welcome.
Thank you, Lee. Good to see you again this year.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.
And we have Steve and Sonny with us. And I was saying, every time I take your interview back to England, they network it across the FM stations, and they just love... I mean, you've got so many hits.
Well, we've been very fortunate through the years, you know, and we're just glad that people are still enjoying our music. We're very appreciative of that, for sure.
Now, the other thing is, you're celebrating 60 years this year,
yeah.
And I think, if I'm right, you're the longest-running country, well, longest-running group that's still performing.
Well, we're...
As far as we know, in some ways we are. It's you'd have to add self-contained to the category. The Beach Boys had their first show in 1962 or 61, and then the Stones, of course, they're in your neck of the woods.
Well, they're 60 as well.
Yeah.
Oldest in America, maybe. Oldest country music, probably.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some qualifications to that, but we're plenty old.
but qualify for that.
But you're basically the same band.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Which the Beach Boys aren't.
True.
Not now. I mean,
yeah.
So where's the Beach Boy? Oh, yeah, there you go.
Which one? Which act? Which group out there? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. So anyway, you continue touring all the time. How many sort of dates do you do a year?
We do between 50 and 60 dates a year, you know, and keeps us pretty busy.
Yeah. I know you're dying to come over to Europe again.
You know, prior to us doing this interview, we talked about it, and we talked about this last year with you. We'd love to get back over there. We think there's still an audience, at least we hope there's still an audience that would love to hear our music, see us live, and if there's a way that we can put it together, we would love to come over.
I think Wembley was the last time we played. That's how far back it's been.
Perhaps. You know,
yeah.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
My goodness. So is there any new music to go for the 60 years?
Funny you should ask. This past year, we've been working and writing on a lot of new songs, and we're right near the end of completion of a brand new project that's going to be released sometime very late spring or early summer. And the title of the project is called A Million Miles Later, which also happens to be one of the title song of the project.
Just a dream, but here we are, as crazy as it seems. We're better off, a little worse for wear, but somehow we made it on a wing and a prayer. The turning of the wheels, the hum of the road, you're always with me everywhere I go. Don't know why you did, but you stayed. And when I seem lost on some dead end street, now a million miles later, 10,000 nights with you, we've climbed a lot of mountains and even moved.
Hey everybody, I'm Sonny.
I'm Steve.
And we're with the band Exile.
And you're listening to Lee Williams.
So we're really excited about that coming out. Can't wait for people to hear all this new music.
So every track is new.
Yes, it is. It's all new, and Sonny and JP have gotten their footing again as songwriters for the band. They've teamed up with a famous writer, Sharon Vaughn, and the music is incredible. I have to say, I got to take my hat off to them. They have come up in typical fashion for these two. It's really, really refreshing.
Good, because I remember the last album I had was the Garage Tapes.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. Which happens to be one of my favorites personally, because it kind of chronicles the songwriting process and all the early songs, you know, from the pop albums and some of the country albums. But I will say, on this new project, again, title of which is A Million Miles Later, we do one cover song, one. And it's we do it in typical Exile style. It's a song that was made famous by Tennessee Ernie Ford called 16 Tons.
Okay,
if
good.
If you remember that song.
Well, that's on the Garage Tapes, isn't it?
Yes, it is on that, but we went back and re-recorded it to have a proper recording, because on the Garage Tapes, we literally taped a rehearsal all those years ago on a boombox.
Well, it sounded like it was in the garage.
It practically was, but we thought, you know, it's kind of in keeping of what that whole thing was about, that project. So we've re-recorded it, and it'll be included on this new project.
Well, looking forward to that. Yeah. Love the song. Love the song.
To the company store.
Hey everybody, I'm Sonny.
I'm Steve.
And we're with the band Exile.
And you're listening to Lee Williams. Store.
the mine. I load 16 tons of number 9 coal. The straw boss said, well, bless my soul. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store, yeah. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. Load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I do.
Yeah, so are you playing at all this week anywhere?
Well, we're
we're actually headed out for a cruise, the Rock and Romance cruise, which is all rock acts. You know, unfortunately, we qualified because we had the one big pop hit, Kiss You All Over. So, you know, we're one of those few acts that can kind of cross that line comfortably, even after all these years. So we're very happy about that. We've done this cruise before, and it's really a blast.
Because it's quite a big thing now, music cruises now. I see there's not every style of music has got a cruise now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, disco cruise, the malt shop cruise, the, you know, soul cruise, whatever it is. So it's fun.
Good. How long are you on? 7 days?
Well, for this particular cruise, it is 7 days, but they split the acts up. We're on the first part of the cruise, which is just 3 days. So every act is on this cruise for just 3 days.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's a lot of fun. Like Steve said, we did it before and had a blast.
Yeah. So you're touring for the rest of the year?
Absolutely. You know, dates are still coming in and traveling all across the country.
Great. What is it? I mean, you look so fit. I mean, it's wonderful, you know? You know, some of the new bands don't look as healthy as you two do.
And with our history, we shouldn't look this good.
Yeah, it's all milk and cookies these days, Lee.
Okay, you know? Okay, yeah. The alcohol's a long gone.
Believe
drink.
Me when I tell you, it is long gone.
Yeah.
We had way too much fun, and that was in the past.
Yeah. Even the egos are gone, almost.
Almost. Oh, you have to keep a little bit in this business to keep sane. But there you go. Well, boys, look forward to it. We will work on some way of getting you over there because I still have yet to see you live.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is, well, I think I saw you at Wembley, but my memory don't go back that far. But, you know, the last time I was here, I think I missed you by a day because I had to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really want to see the band. I keep watching the videos, though.
Okay.
If there's any show that you see you'd like to come to, please let us know in advance. You'll get red carpet treatment, I promise.
Okay. Great. It's all good.
Okay. Well, have a great trip. Enjoy the cruise.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in the UK and look forward to the album. So when's the album out?
Again, late spring or early summer. The release date has not been determined yet, but you'll hear about it, I promise you.
We'll get Bev to get me a copy.
You bet. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
After 31 years, Exile come back with a brand new single. It's called Rough Around the Edges.
If you know what I mean.
Thanks for joining us here on Bondi Tunes International. My name's Henry. I live on Bondi Beach. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Henry O'Donovan.